You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of us strongly recommends this one.
So I think out of all the directors that I myself have encountered during the many years I've been watching movies, I think Abel Ferrara is the one that is probably one of the most uncharacteristic. Like, I do not know, admittedly do not know a lot of his filmography, but the few titles I do know of are just in their own ways just so batshit crazy. I know The Driller Killer. I know his version of Body Snatchers, and I know a movie he did with Madonna called Dangerous Game, and they all are such different beasts that there's no way that they could have been made by the same guy. And watching his latest today, Siberia, starring the ever intriguing and ever handsome Willem Dafoe, yeah, he continues. He definitely continues his reign as like one of the most what the fuck filmmakers that has ever existed in this realm. But I'm not alone to just wax nostalgia about Abel Ferrara. With me, I've got some other lovely people who likewise were all what the fuck at Siberia. My name is Frank, and with me is Marco.
Hello. I'm here waning nostalgia. Some people wax, I wane.
That's why we love you. Jordan.
I never want to look at Willem Dafoe the same way again. I know he is art house Jesus at the moment, but no.
I will forever have a crush on Willem Dafoe.
This explains a lot.
That man just gets more attractive. The older he gets, the more hotter he gets. Bastard. And Elliot.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so Siberia stars, like I said before, the ever attractive Willem Dafoe as Clint, who is an American living in the titular Siberia, running a bar, encountering random customers / hallucinations that populate both his life and his mind as he struggles to deal with his past, including a complicated relationship with his father, his former wife, and their son. Yeah, this was something. And I say that in all caps. What did you guys think about this?
I don't know if I recall watching a movie where I just threw my hands up like, I don't get it! I get it, in a way. I do. But I'm also going, what the hell? I want to get this out of the way. This movie is, by the way, this is my first exposure to Abel Ferrara.
Ooh, so. What an intro. Fucking hell.
All right, look, this movie is beautiful. It is a gorgeous movie. I am not denying that. I'm just like, hey, you know, desktops, screensavers all day, every day here. Awesome.
No, the cinematography is legitimately gorgeous in this thing, yeah.
It's like that cliche sometimes in fiction where the characters just see something so art house and out of the system. I just felt like I was actually living that sort of fucking moment. You know what? It's like that goddamn play in How I Met Your Mother.
I sincerely doubt this is anything like anything that has ever appeared in an episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Well, we know that this movie has done its done something of a job if it left Jordan at a loss for words. Marco, what you reckon?
Abel Ferrara is not new to me. I mean, I was first introduced to him in The Bad Lieutenant, which was kind of a big scandalous film in the 90s. Not exactly his comeback. He never really went anywhere, but was kind of a big mainstream crossover hit for him, and then followed by King of New York. And he just had this sort of groove for a while. But of course, this is a guy who had been working since the early 70s when he did a porno, which was his first feature, which he did under an assumed name, I believe. And then his next film, which was The Driller Killer, shortly after that, Miss 45. He's one of those guys who, for most of his career, has had one foot planted firmly in the grindhouse and another in the art house. This is definitely one of his more art house works. This is probably the most abstract thing he's ever done. Despite having a large cast, it's really a one-man show. It is Willem Dafoe in a role that I have to assume is somewhat autobiographical for Abel Ferrara.
Who co-wrote this, by the way?
Who is one of the usually one of the writers, and there's another gentleman on this. I don't have that in front of me.
That is Chris Zoyce.
Yes, this is their fifth film together, and it's his fifth film with Dafoe. So this is a group that are very comfortable with one another. And I think only a group that feel that comfortable, have that kind of confidence in one another, would commit to something that's so experimental.
Yeah.
Whether that works for you as an audience member or not, I can definitely see why this is going to irritate some people who watch it.
Did it work
it
for you,
though? It is beautiful.
Though?
I don't want to go into my whole review now because I want to give other people a chance to talk.
Fair enough.
There are some things that worked, but there are some things that did not, and I'll expound upon that later.
Okay, Elliot, what do you think of this?
This is my first encounter with Abel Ferrara, and I've heard of Bad Lieutenant. It's still on my list to see, although I'm not sure how, and you know, how much I'm going to be running out to see another Abel Ferrara film after this. It is a very pretty film, I will say that. There are other pretty films that I didn't like that I would rather rewatch than this. Ones that are even still fairly abstract, slow moving. There's a lot that just didn't work for me. There was some stuff that did, but even in the first 5-10 minutes, there's a couple things that happen that just made me go, what the fucking hell is going on here? Either I get it and it's stupid, or I don't get it and I kind of don't care that I don't get it, was kind of my overall takeaway from the film.
Yeah, I'm of the same mindset. Because I thought, well, this is a great idea. I love this man wrestling with his past through these hallucinations in this like snow-covered landscape where he has no other choice but to face his hallucinations.
That can work.
But the like you said, the abstract factor, though, Marco.
It's a non-narrative film. I think that's going to throw a lot of people.
Yeah.
I cannot stress this enough. Abel Ferrara is not everybody's cup of tea, but this is very unlike anything in his filmography.
Mm-hmm.
Usually he's much more genre based. He's a little bit more aggressive, even a little bit sleazy at times. This feels like he's reimagining some Christian ascetic in the form of Willem Dafoe and has stuck him in Siberia, and he has a dark night of the soul under the influence of hallucinations, wanders off to a cave, which he then descends into and begins to encounter experiences of the past, or these could be hallucinations. He seems to be very sensitive to locations where a great tragedy or great pain has occurred. And then we see reenactments of things that he wasn't necessarily involved in. I do feel like this is the work of a much older artist. I mean, Abel Ferrara's got to be in his 70s. It's a guy looking back. Yeah. Filtered through the Catholicism that has always been a queasy aspect of all of his films. And I mean queasy in the sense that I don't think he's comfortable with it all the time. And it's a guy trying to make sense of his life. The question is, what is it that he's running away from? That's never exactly answered. And I think that there is the central issue I have with the film. It's one thing for a man to confront his demons, but we don't know what those demons are.
Exactly.
And what we do get seems pretty banal and ordinary.
I was thinking to myself when I was watching this, I was like, I really wish I knew more about this man, because I really don't know much anything else other than he's struggling with his past. And these are just like the little symbols that he seems to be plaguing him. And I just wish I just knew more about who he was. That would make this a little bit more of an enlightening experience, I feel.
That is also one of my biggest problems, because this movie just honestly felt aimless. Okay, but what made him move here? Why is he thinking, fuck it, I'm gonna go in the middle of cold ass fuck Siberia and run a ramshackle bar that's pretty much just a stop for people?
I gotta admit, I was tempted. I kind of thought, you know, that would work for me. One of the things that this film plays with, and whether it's effective is up to you all to decide, but it does not subtitle anything.
No.
He is one of the only people in this place, whether in the real place or in the world that he imagines, is one of the few people who speaks English. When he meets other people, they're having conversations, and you see the Defoe character picking up on what they're saying, but it's not translated for us. I did something I rarely do, which is after I watched this, I did a little bit of digging. I tried to find out some more information on this. There is a moment where an object recites a line from Nietzsche. There's an old woman and a very pregnant young woman with her, and the old woman says something to the effect of, she's pregnant with your child. There's various conversations that people have that, had they been subtitled, we might have had some access into what was going on in Defoe's mind or the character's mind. But without that, it's just very opaque and we have to guess.
Had we had the subtitles, had we had more context, I think that this could have been a very surrealist journey. It's kind of surrealist now, but because we have to piece so much together, there is quite a bit of distance. You know, there is a limit to how much we can actually engage with this movie. And it's a shame because, again, the idea is pretty solid.
I do want to clarify, I don't hate this movie. I'm just more left hollow by it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it much like I do something like from this year, like, say, music. Although I had a hell of a better time with this it's than been, fucking, yeah,
better
I had
than
a better
music.
Time with this than Sia.
Wow, that's such a high bar, Jordan, for me to clear.
I'll clear it anyway. I don't give a shit. This was like the first time I really did just look at something like this and go, I just can't. I don't. No, it really
like a little too much work.
It was a bit of an experience.
Yeah.
I'm glad the movie's only 92 minutes.
Thank God.
Because I don't know how I could handle this film at 2 hours or beyond 2 hours.
Elliot, are you wishing for a director's cut for this movie?
Release the Ferrara cut.
Shut the... Do not get that trending.
Only if it shortens it by like 75%.
Hashtag release the Ferrara cut. All 4 hours long. And now in black and white.
God damn.
Yeah, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to watch that cut. Frank, like you were saying, like, this movie is just so opaque. It is surreal. It's definitely a surreal movie, but I think surreality implies sort of a filter put over reality. So you're still observe, you know, there's an element of transparency there. And this was just like kind of impenetrable and probably definitely would have been made better by a few subtitles. I tried turning the subtitles on and there are none. Yeah.
Apparently that is true of every cut. It was, I believe, a conscious decision on Ferrara's part to keep people in the dark.
Right.
I think it's also about the limitations of language, perhaps. And there's a lot of talk that he's given about Jungian dream archetypes and things. His goal was to create a dream and a movie that has the logic of a dream. I don't think we should be accepting all of this literally. While it's tempting to piece together a narrative out of it, it's really not its intent. I get the sense that this is a character who is distressed, who has fled from a dark past, who's trying to run away from his demons. But I don't get enough context here to know what those demons are, other than he's a middle-aged man who now wishes that he had had a better relationship with his father, and he regrets that, you know, he couldn't keep his marriage working. And I'm like, well, get in line. Lots of people feel that way.
It's a shame because that's sort of like reflective sort of character, and that's like, it's kind of Hemingway-esque, isn't it, in a way, or it could have been. And you know, it's just a shame that we got it this way. But let's go ahead and wrap into final thoughts. Jordan, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, I was about to say, couldn't you do what any normal person does in a midlife crisis and sleep with someone 20 years younger than you? And
well,
buy
I
kind of
did.
Several times, actually.
Yeah. I never want to see William Dafoe.
With many women.
New rule. William Dafoe keeps his clothes on in every movie I see him in from this point on. All right?
No. Ferrera should make a porn movie with him.
Shut up. No. No. Don't you fucking dare.
I put that in the universe. Anyway, sorry.
I kind of was waiting for them to go to a past life. Let me tell you about this time I worked at a lighthouse. This movie's frustrating in a lot of ways, but I don't hate it. It's a beautiful movie, and it's got a great soundtrack too. It's just, this is like the first time I was ever left befuddled. So I'm gonna give it 2 out of 10 Siberian Huskies who I really wanted to pet because they looked like such sweet boys.
They looked, they looked too adorable. Yeah. They probably like tear my ass to shreds, but they looked really adorable. They do it in a very adorable way, I'm sure. Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't have much more to say. This movie is so weird and impenetrable, but it's not in like any way that was satisfying or good. I had a friend in college who was really into drugs and kind of weird shit for the sake of weird. And when he showed me Enter the Void, I thought that was the worst kind of experimental movie that I'd ever seen. And it probably still is, because this isn't quite that bad, but it's it kind of gave that movie a run for its money at times. So I'll give this 3 out of 10 more reasons to hate Carl Jung.
Marco, as our resident Ferrera expert in the group.
I'll bet Jung was a lot more fun to hang out with Freud. Come on, let's be honest.
So you're a Niles fan. Okay.
But Freud also brought the cocaine, so, you know, there's two sides to that. Mm. I think that Willem Dafoe has played so many heavies and so many madmen that we forget that he is perfectly capable of playing a character with warmth and compassion and just inhabiting this sense of decency, which we saw wonderfully in The Florida Project. And I love that side of Willem Dafoe that we rarely get to see. When this movie started off and it's just this Inuit or this indigenous person walks into the bar, doesn't speak a lick of English, he doesn't speak his language, and they just kind of grunt and communicate until he understands that he wants a glass of rum. And then he pours him some instant coffee. And it's just this very nice, sweet exchange between two men who don't speak one another's language. I would watch a whole movie of that. Of just Willem Dafoe as a man with a past, but is genuinely a nice guy, just interacting with these people with whom he doesn't share a language. I think that would be wonderful. But that ain't the movie. That's not the movie they're doing here. That ends very quickly once the hallucinations start kicking in. But I do enjoy seeing that part of Dafoe, and I do think that Abel Ferrara is trying to unpack something that's so personal that we don't have access to it. As I said, I suspect this is very autobiographical in some regards. This is a very deep, long-time collaboration between a director and an actor. I'm curious to see what they do next. This isn't for everybody. It's pretty to look at, but to be perfectly honest, I would be giving this a very different review if this were the work of a young filmmaker. I'd be like, wow, you are just a pretentious fuck who hasn't lived long enough. At 70 plus years, Ferrara has had a very interesting life. He's got some miles on him, and he's definitely shown that he can play with big ideas. So I appreciate the effort, even if it didn't always succeed. I'm going to give this 6.5 out of 10 bottles of rum.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I kind of knew someone like that at my film school.
Yeah.
And I shit you not, his name was Carmichael. Like, that was his first name.
Oh, well, let's invite that guy on this.
Please,
review.
No.
By the way, no offense to anyone named Carmichael listening to this.
Yeah, all three of you.
I'm very disappointed at how Carmichaelist you are, Jordan.
No. I know. I have a friend whose last name is Carmichael. I just want to go to bed. I forget this movie ever existed. Anyways, yeah, I agree with you, Marco. I think the idea here is really great, and it's really intriguing. And, you know, the trailer does its job, and it sells it as a journey, as a very surrealist journey, as a very reflective and cathartic journey. It's not Willem Dafoe's fault. He's giving it his all. And he clearly has a shorthand with the director where he can deliver what is asked of him. Unfortunately, it's what's asked of him that's where the problem lies. There is so much distance between us and what we're meant to be interpreting or absorbing. Maybe it is that Ferrara is different, but he's always been from film to film. He's never stayed in the safety zone or the comfort zone. He is very experimental, but this is probably a little bit too experimental, even by his own standards, even for his own good. I think we're one of the last countries to see this. This has been released throughout Europe, throughout most other territories, and I don't think anyone's really liked this, to be honest with you. It's been nominated for the standard festival awards, hasn't taken anything. It's a shame, because it's always a shame when all the ingredients are there and they just don't add up to anything that's worth taking in. That's the case here. It's always sad when you think of films you like by the actors and the filmmakers that are much better than what you're watching them in. And that was the case with this. So I got to give this 5 out of 10 old ladies that come in, you think want tea, but they just really want a shot of vodka, as old ladies usually do.
I'm just glad the bear from The Revenant is still getting work.